I was 3 years old when the fire occurred, and Mary said that we went up several times, because we lived in town then, up there, and said that my mother wanted to come back to the house on Broadway two or three times because so many of the fire was going and hitting houses, and she afraid our house would get burnt by some of the flying debris, you know, from the chapel fire. And there were a number of houses that were caught fire because of that.
You see, we were on our way back from the Glee Club trip, and we heard about it in Corbin.
In Corbin.
Mm-hmm. We heard that the chapel had burned.
You already got us on tape?
This is an unrehearsed interview with Don B. Cawthorn, class of 1931, and Horace Hambrick, class of 1947, at Mr. Cawthorn's residence at 3051 Ruidosa Drive, apartment 207, Lexington, Kentucky, on March 25th, 2000. The interview was conducted by Glenn Edward Todd, Georgetown College archivist. Now just tell me your name first.
Don Cawthorn.
Okay. And where were you living at the time when you came to Georgetown?
I was living in Pineville, Kentucky.
Pineville, Kentucky. That's in eastern
Bell
Kentucky.
County.
Okay. What made you decide to come to Georgetown?
My older brother had gone to Georgetown. My parents were Baptists, and they wanted us to go to a Baptist college.
Okay. Why did they want you to go to a Baptist? Well, besides being Baptist, was there any particular reason why they picked Georgetown?
Not that I know of. I had been offered a scholarship to play basketball at Kentucky Wesleyan. And my parents said, we want you to go to Georgetown. So that's where I wound up.
Now, and your parents, what did your dad do?
My dad owned and operated some coal mines.
Oh, down around Middlesboro? Or?
Well, we were all of us were born in Virginia.
Okay.
And my grandfather had a farm just south of Appomattox, Virginia, about 50 or 60 miles. And we spent a lot of time there, and then we moved to Norton, Virginia, and moved to Kentucky when I was 12 years old, I think it was.
12 years old?
Yeah.
Okay, and then, so you went there through high school, like at Pineville High School?
That's right.
Okay. And what kind of education did you get at Pineville High School?
I got a wonderful education. Teachers good. Athletic programs good. Students good. And just a very, very invigorating environment. Pineville High School was a Class A school, no question.
Was it a four-room school, an eight-room school?
Or? Oh, no. It was a building about 40 or 50 yards long and about 25 or 30 feet deep or longer.
Uh-huh.
No, it was a good-sized building.
And about what year was this, or years were these?
I graduated in 1927.
From high school?
Right.
Okay. So you came to Georgetown in 1927.
Right.
What was, how did you get there?
My family drove me.
Oh. So you didn't take a bus or a train or anything?
No. They drove me down and unloaded me, and then they went home.
Now, were you the first in the family to go to college?
No, no, my brother, older brother, gone to Georgetown.
Is there more than you and your brother in the family?
I had two younger brothers, and I had an older sister.
Okay.
And my older sister went to Science Hill.
Oh, over in Pulaski County.
Over in Shelby County.
Shelby County.
Shelby County.
Oh!
Shelbyville.
Science Hill.
Okay. You're talking about Science Hill School, not the town.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Very good. So, what were the roads like from Pineville to Georgetown?
Twisting, narrow. Mm-hmm. And I remember it took,
It would take at least 8 hours to drive from Pineville to Louisville.
8 hours?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. I counted the time quite frequently because the girl that I met at Georgetown, to whom I later married, lived in Louisville.
Uh-huh.
And I would drive from Pineville to Louisville, and it always took me 8 hours, 7 hours to go, and 8 hours to get back. I was more anxious to get there than I was to leave.
He was depressed after he left. So what kind of, now had you visited Georgetown before you came?
Yeah, I'd been down there because my brother was there. Okay. I'd been there during my senior year, I went down.
Okay. What was your impression of it?
It must have been all right because I didn't rebel against going to Georgetown.
Okay. Was your brother still here at the time you came?
Yeah, he was still there.
Okay.
He was 2 years ahead of me.
Okay. Now, where did you stay? First year,
Pie K House.
The Pie K House. And where was that located?
Located at Main Street and
Chambers
Avenue.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, I lived all 4 years in the fraternity house.
Still standing.
Does that mean you pledged the first semester?
I pledged at the end of the first semester.
At the end of the first semester. But you still started out in the Pie K House. How could you do that? I thought fraternities were only allowed to, members were only allowed to stay in the fraternity house.
I don't know, but I stayed in Pike House. I know that.
Well, they did when I was there. You could have non-fraternity members in the house.
Is that right? Okay. Is that because there was a shortage of housing for students on the campus?
Well, Georgetown, I mean, the fraternity owned that house.
Mm-hmm. The national organization or the local fraternity?
It was local, wasn't it?
Local fraternity.
Okay. Okay.
Fraternity members contributed to buying.
Okay. Of course, all that changed in the 60s or 70s, rather.
Before then, but...
Well, what did the fraternities do to recruit you?
Well, they didn't like they do now. Rushed. They had a lot of affairs, a lot of, little parties that they had, but they weren't binges.
Mm-hmm.
They were parties there at the house.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the members would take you out to maybe get a Coca-Cola or eat a sandwich or something like that, and that's the way they rushed you then.
Okay.
You remember that, Horace? Remember how they did that?
Yeah.
So it wasn't, the way you're describing it's nothing like they probably do today.
Not, no. Nothing like, what do they call it, chapel day?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing
yeah.
like that.
No.
It was all very, it was very competitive, but it was done on a more personal basis than, of course, with me, it was a little different because my brother was a podcast.
So that influenced you.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But I was also rushed by the KAs. Mm-hmm. Even though my brother was a Parkhead, but they did anyway.
Okay. And the KAs were like on, what's the name of the street the Baptist Church is on?
Oh, there, Hamilton Street.
Hamilton
Street. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That dentist then bought the house later in the Hill,
yep.
Dr. Hill.
Okay. What did y'all do? Why was it so important to belong to a fraternity in your mind?
Social.
Social?
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of activities were y'all involved, did you get involved in as far as social activities?
Oh, well, they had a lot of parties. I mean, not a lot of parties, but on special occasions they would have parties and they'd have... For instance, I remember when Frankie Carl that came to Georgetown.
Might have been.
He came over to the house and played the piano a lot at night while he was there. And things like that. It was more of a personal thing than it was it was the fraternity. I don't know how they are now, but the fraternities in my time and probably in Horace's time were very close knit, and the Pi Kappas, I know, were, and I guess the other fraternities were also. But we just did a lot of things together, and then you made special friends that you did things with. I made several real close friends, and always were during my pledge years.
Mm-hmm.
We went through Hell Week together and all that kind of stuff. They don't have that anymore, don't they?
What is Hell Week? Or what was Hell Week, I should say?
It was what the name describes.
Okay. Well, tell me some of the things that went on.
Well, I remember that. Well, they pushed through all sorts of things, and I remember one night they had the pledges all up in the third floor of the fraternity house, and had your hands stretched out, holding on to those 2x4s or 4x6s or what were, without any clothes on,
uh-huh,
stark naked, and they stuck fly paper all over you. Did you do you that way?
Did worse than that.
Oh,
I'll tell my story after you get through.
And all things like that. I had to get in a tub of hot water,
uh-huh,
and soak that fly paper before I could get it off. Of course, you can imagine, you don't know what fly paper is, do you?
Yeah, I know what it is.
Do you?
Yeah, it's real sticky on the surface, yeah, and you hang it up to catch the flies.
That's right.
Yeah.
And of course, we had a lot of paddling in those days, too.
Oh, I wondered about that. That was going on during the time. I never was a fraternity person, but I knew they had paddles.
Well, Zach Dawson, who played tackle on the football team, was my big brother.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he would greet me most of the days would be, "Cawthorn, grab your ankles." And you'd bend over, and he'd give you a whack with that paddle. Pretty thin, too. And one night he came in, and I was already in my pajamas, and about 10 o'clock. And Jack said, "On your feet. Get dressed." And he looked at his watch, and he said, "You've got 15 minutes to go down to Susie Fava's and get me some ice cream." So I took off.
In your pajamas?
No, I dressed. Not my pajamas.
I made him break a vocal record for
you. Well, you know, as fast as I could run, I'll tell you. Down there and back.
So that was all part of Hell Week.
Yeah, and the last night of Hell Week, they searched you to make sure you had no money on. Made you take your shoes off, see you didn't have any there, and everywhere. And to make sure you didn't have any money, and they blindfolded you.
Mm-hmm.
Put you in a car,
mm-hmm,
drove you out in the county someplace, or some other county, took the blindfold off and put you out of the car.
Uh-huh.
And you get back to Georgetown the best way you could. Did they do you that way?
Same way. Exactly.
So how did you get back?
Well, it so happened that I had a good friend who was a member of the fraternity,
uh-huh,
already, and he won the pledge. And he took me and my buddy in the car, and he and another fellow, and drove around and around and around. And finally let us out down around Farmer's Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And we walked from there back to the house, so he didn't put us out in the country.
So you're...
Did that do you?
Much worse than that.
No, I didn't have... very nice.
So after Hell Week, was there some kind of initiation ceremony or a ceremony to induct you?
Oh,
into
we went through that. And then, of course...
That's a secret thing, isn't it?
During the pledge week, we had a study hall in the fraternity house.
Mm-hmm.
And we had somebody that monitored it, so they did pay some attention to academics. Uh-huh. And I don't know, it was just all a good experience.
Uh-huh.
Except after I became an active member, I didn't do much paddling on the pledges.
Uh-huh.
I've never been in favor much of that vigorous hazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad they do it now in community work or whatever they do. I know they don't, they're not supposed to do it now.
Not supposed to.
And the national, is against it.
Uh-huh.
Most national fraternities are against it now.
Uh-huh. So what did, kind of things did you do after you got into the fraternity?
Well, I played athletics. I played on the basketball team,
okay.
on the tennis team.
Okay.
I played football my freshman year. And I wouldn't go out the second year for a reason I don't want to state on the record here. But we heard that somebody had the VD disease.
Oh.
And so I didn't go out.
Okay.
And I talked to my parents about it. They said, drop it.
And
I don't know whether they did or not.
You know, it just wasn't Horace.
Oh, no. He was still in high school. Grade school, maybe.
No, I was born in the year you went to Georgetown.
Was it? Was it?
So you participated in activities outside of the fraternities.
Oh, yes. Yeah, sure.
And you mentioned the sports. What other kind of activities were you involved in? You mentioned the Glee Club.
Oh, yeah. Sang first tenor in the Glee Club.
Were you involved in that from your first year?
Oh, no, I was involved in that. I didn't get involved in that until my junior year.
Oh.
And the reason I got involved in my junior year, because the girl came up as a freshman from Louisville, Chris Kerr.
Mm-hmm.
And she played the piano real well. And she was the pianist for the Glee Club. And I joined the Glee Club.
I figured that was going to be the reason.
Bud Blackman and I sang first tenor. Remember Bud?
No.
You probably don't remember him.
No.
He became a doctor in and practiced in London, Ohio, I think.
Hmm.
But George Asher, Gene's brother, was a senior at the time I went to Georgetown. Dr. Blount.
Rankin Blount,
yeah. He was a doctor here in Lexington for a long time.
Myself.
Huh?
I'd gone to him too.
Oh, did you? But just stayed busy, you know. Used to go to the library every once in a while, whenever Chris went.
Well, did you go before then?
And write notes. Not much.
Uh-huh.
Not much. And Mrs. Fisher, I believe it was, who was a librarian.
Ella Fisher.
She would see me writing a note to Chris, and she'd go,
"Oh, she wouldn't. You wouldn't say a word. She would just wave her finger."
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, I was. It's funny you should mention that, because I was looking through the Georgetonian not long ago in the 1920s, and Miss Fisher had published her rules for library protocol. Did you read that in the exhibit? What was the protocol?
Well, there was no talking.
Okay.
And I don't know whether it was you weren't supposed to, boys and girls supposed to, I know I sat at the table with Chris.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And this was like 1928?
1929.
Okay.
She didn't come back in 1929.
Okay.
I was a junior when she came as a freshman. And that's when they had open house every night, you know, from 6:30 to 7:30 in the sorority houses.
Oh,
And Chris would always play the piano. And one of the girls from Pineville told me, said, Don, there's a real cute girl from Louisville I want you to meet. And I didn't know it, but at the time she told the girl, said, there's a boy from Pineville. It's a nice boy, I want you to meet him. And I was playing on the tennis team, and one, I didn't pay any attention to it for, oh, 2 or 3 weeks. And one afternoon, after I'd finished my match, I went to the sorority house to look this thing over, you know, they told me then. There was a crowd around the piano and somebody was banging out them and they were singing the top of the voices. I finally edged my way in where I could look over the piano. And Chris said that later, said, I knew that's who you were because I saw that stick, tennis racket sticking out of your hand. And that night I asked, I said, well, I walked you back to the, I liked what I saw. I said, I walked you back to the dorm. And she said, somebody had already asked me. I said, okay, well, I don't know if it was goofed off or not, but the next night I went back to the open house and I said to her again, I said, I'll walk you back to the dorm if I may. She said, somebody had already asked me. And I said, well, is anybody asking for tomorrow, ask for tomorrow night? No. Well, so I walked her back that night, and I said, I'll walk you back tomorrow night, too. She said, somebody always asked me. Well, about, and finally, about the third night, she told me that. And then finally, the fourth night, I walked her back, and I said, from now on, whoever asks you to walk you back to the north, you tell them you got somebody to walk
You cut them off.
And I walked her back every night since then.
Now, where was she staying, in Rucker?
She was staying in Rucker at the time. Yeah. Rucker Hall. You remember Rucker?
Yes. Never was inside it, but I remember it.
Well, you know, that was a hard decision as a trustee to vote to tear that thing down. But we'd been warned time and again by the fire marshal about how dangerous it was, and I was on the trustees at the time. And I hate to see it come down, but also many times after the meeting, I would be thinking at night, suppose that building does catch on fire. Those kids up on the third floor wouldn't have a chance. And so they finally tore it down, which they should have done. But alums would come back to the campus and they would look and they'd say, where's Rucker Hall? They didn't know that it had been torn down. And I remember one woman, don't remember her name, she really actually shed tears because she couldn't find Rucker. I mean, it was that kind of a place.
Yeah, oh, I know.
See, in Rucker, when you had a date, and that's where you had your dates when you were a freshman. They're little cubicles, straight benches, like you said. And you could, anybody in the next cubicle, they could hear you and so on and so forth. And it was really a 10 strike when you could get down where the Glee Club director had his office. They would let you have a date in that, and I finally worked up where I could get a date there. And the rules were very strict. I remember Chris got campus for 2 weeks. And the reason was she had been seen with a boy, which would be downtown.
Oh!
So she couldn't have a date for 2 weeks.
That's what campus means.
Well, campus.
You never heard of the term?
Haven't heard of that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that was true in my case. Oh, campus.
I've still got that little card someplace where Chris was given that being campus. A reason seen in town with a boy. I've got that stuff up someplace.
Now, that is fascinating.
And I think you could have only have about 2 dates a month to begin with. And so they were precious.
And then there were exceptions for, there were certain occasions where you weren't candidates, right?
You went to church, you could go to on prayer meetings.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, we both were Baptists and went to Baptist church. On Sunday, we would go to the Presbyterian church, which was all the way around on Main Street, and we'd walk all the way around. And we used to have a date for 60 cents, 25 cents each to go into the movie, and a nickel for a Coke. And we'd go to Tiger's Den or the Sweet Shop, one or the other. I think the Sweet Shop got to be where it was favorite for us.
Now, where was the Sweet Shop? I know it was downtown, but...
It was just about where... it was just south, I guess you could say, about 3 or 4 doors of Susie Fava's.
Oh.
Is that right?
Or west.
West, okay.
Toward Frank.
Toward Frank.
Yeah, toward down toward the courthouse.
Okay. But it was on Main Street.
Yeah, on Main Street.
Okay.
Fava's and Sweet Shop both on the same side of the street.
And Tiger Den across the street.
Yeah.
Now, what was the Tiger Den?
It was a restaurant, and it was a place where the kids would hang out some.
It was basically trying to gear its business toward the college students.
Yeah. And the college kids used to hang out there some.
Okay.
And
they allow dancing?
Oh no. Matter of fact, I was on the trustees again when we voted to have dancing. And which I think we should have done before we did,
when my sister was in school though in the early 40s, before Hill came, they did have dancing under Sherwood.
Oh.
After Don was gone, and then it was later
then
restored.
It went back. That's Edelman.
Yeah.
Oh, did Dr. Edelman ban dancing?
Well, I don't think Dr. Hill had dancing.
No, they didn't under Dr. Hill. No.
But it was under Sherwood they had dancing, because my sister, she was the Sigma Kappa, as Chris was, and I can remember going up to Sigma Kappa House when I was in high school, and my sister and they rolled the rugs back to dance in the Sigma Kappa.
Well, when you had dancing, did you do it with records, or did you have some people who actually played instruments, or?
I think records.
Well, we had a little jazz band my senior year. Chris played the piano. Arlie Wheeler played the drums. Bud Blackburn and I played trumpets. And somebody played a sax, and I've forgotten the name of the fellow who played the sax. But we used to just get together and toot around, you know, for fun.
Okay. That's the best kind. Instead of doing it to records. Well, what did you major in?
Majored in biology. And Dr. Hinton. And Barney Watson. You didn't know him.
You Hinton? I didn't know
him. I know. At that time, I don't know whether they still do or not, but we had to have an oral examination on our major our senior year.
They still do that at Georgetown.
And stand you up and ask you questions for an hour or so. Mm-hmm. All of it oral.
Did you have to stand up, Don?
Oh, yeah.
I got to sit down.
Yeah, I did too, but my mother, when she recited under John L. Hill, she used to have to stand up during recitation.
Well, I had to stand up during that time. And of course, I remember the old building where that burns, you know. They used to have chapel in there. and on the left as you went in on Giddings. And the library was on the right. And I did took some chemistry, and I had my chemistry lab was up on the third floor of old Giddings.
Oh, yeah.
And that was before we had an elevator. We haven't always had that elevator, you know.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And so I remember we used to have numbered seats in the chapel, and they would take the attendance on that by the seats that were unoccupied. And they they knew all the students, so it wasn't any question of having a phony sit in your seat.
Now, what was the rules for chapel?
I've forgotten exactly.
How often did they have it?
I don't recall. It seemed to me like we had chapel every day, but I'm not sure that's accurate.
I wouldn't be surprised. They might have been.
Well, the day that the chapel burned, it was on a Saturday, and they were having chapel.
On Saturday? I didn't know they were having it on Saturday.
No, I didn't either.
It was April the
20th. Well, then they must have. When I was in school, we had it on, if you were a freshman, you had it Monday and Wednesday, and upperclassmen Tuesday and Thursday. So we had 4 days when I was in school. So I bet Don had 5 days.
Seems to me we did have 5 days.
So what was what happened in chapel, usually?
Speeches.
Although
I wouldn't call it an orchestra, but Chris also played the violin.
Well, she was talented.
And I could, well, she didn't play it. She said not too well. I couldn't tell the difference. But you used to have those glass doors in that, you know, you could go in the foyer.
Yeah.
And the chapel's down, you see the glass doors, and I'd see her in there sawing away on that piano, I mean, on that violin. I thought she's not happy. it was all a lot of fun.
Uh-huh. What professor do you remember the most?
Oh, there's several. Dr. Stanton Pierce, who was a chemistry teacher, and Dr. Hinton, Barney Watson, Nellie Mae Gabhart, who taught me history, Dr. Fogel, I believe he was French, wasn't he? And then the fellow who was taught mathematics.
Was Hatfield then?
Hatfield, yeah. Mm-hmm. Dr. Hatfield. Yeah, those are the ones that I remember the most.
Were their teaching styles about the same?
No. Dr. Pierce would ask you more questions.
So he wasn't necessarily a lecturer?
No, not necessarily. But he put a lot of formulas up on the blackboard. You had to interpret them, what they were, and so on and so forth. And when you were trying to synthesize something. Mm-hmm. I wonder, you know, there's a funny thing, how things stand out in your memory. I know Chick Carter and Dean Caton and I had driven to Pineville. Dean lived in Pineville and Chick lived in Harlan. And we had, Chick and I had gone together and bought an A model Ford. And we drove to Pineville in that, and Chick took it on to Harlan. And it didn't have a top on it.
Oh.
And in the back, where a normal seat later became the fashionable thing to have, we had just a big box. And we were Chick was supposed to meet us at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning to drive back to Georgetown. It took them quite a few hours to drive to Georgetown from Pine. Well, a chick was late getting to Pine. Mm-hmm. And we finally left Pineville along about 6 o'clock. And in the meantime, it had snowed. And with one of these snows that laid on the grass, but the pavement was warm and it melted.
Oh, okay.
And we didn't have any lights on the car. And so we followed just that black streak ribbon mm-hmm. all the way back to Georgetown.
Oh, my goodness.
And we got in about, about 1 o'clock or something like that mm-hmm. in the morning. Safely, thank goodness. And the next morning, I had a history class at 8 o'clock. And Nellie Mae Gabhart later married Dr. Vincent Pierce.
Yeah, you see Vincent Pierce's wife.
Was a history teacher. And my seat was about 4 rows back and right up against the wall. And having been cold all night, when I got in there, and I went to sleep promptly. And I didn't know it. I leaned over, but the first thing I knew, Nellie Mae was tapping me on the shoulder.
Uh-huh.
And she said, "Don, what in the world happened to you?" And I told her we had driven practically all night. And I was sorry that I had slept during her class. But you know, she never did do the thing. She uh-huh. said, "Well, I understand."
Well, wasn't that sweet?
That's why I remember it.
Yeah, sure.
And you remember something like
yes,
that.
Yes, you do.
She later married Dr. Vincent Pierce, who's been very good to the college.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you know him.
He's a trustee, and he was a brother to Stanton Pierce.
That's right.
The other professor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Chemistry, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But three brothers.
Vincent wasn't, he was a doctor.
Yeah, yeah.
He wasn't a professor at Georgetown.
He's a urologist.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So you mentioned Dr. Hinton. What was he like?
Oh, he was fine. He was a soul of integrity, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And he could be very stern.
Mm-hmm.
And when he told you to do something, he expected you to do it. And somewhere or other, you expected to do it after he told you to. but he was very competent in what he did, and he was a real leader, a real good foundation for Georgetown. Wouldn't you think so?
Oh my!
Now he must have been your tennis coach too.
No, as a matter of fact, we didn't have a tennis coach.
Oh, but you. So how did y'all train for tennis matches?
Played each other.
Is that right?
Played each other. Shep Jones was number one. Jockey Garth, Russell Garth, was number two.
Mm-hmm.
And I was number three. And I think Chick Carter was either four or five. We had five of us playing.
And Shep Jones was a Rhodes Scholar.
Yeah.
Dr. W.B. Jones's son.
Right.
I've heard the name, but I couldn't place it.
North Carolina died several years
mm-hmm.
ago.
Okay.
Real nice guy.
One of the Rhodes Scholars.
He went into the Foreign Service, didn't he?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh.
Taught North Carolina.
Yeah.
University of North Carolina.
Oh, okay. Didn't Dr. Hinton coach basketball too?
Not when I was playing.
Okay.
Hovater coached football, I guess it was. And the basketball coach, I think his name was Collins. Cox, I don't quite remember. I mean, mm-hmm. we had two there in a short length of time.
Oh.
And, but Hovater was the football coach.
Was he?
Yeah.
I think I remember that name.
But when you were attending Georgetown, you had majors and minors for as far as the way the curriculum was set up.
I minored in chemistry and also had a minor, it could have been a major, in foreign languages.
Okay.
Because I took Spanish and French when I was there. And I had 1 year of Latin. And I took an exam because I had had French in high school. And they gave me college credit when I passed the French exam on that.
That's about the equivalent of today's advanced placement in it.
AP.
They do that more regularly today in the high schools.
I read where they are studying the revision of the SAT.
I think so, Don.
I read a long article about that. Mm-hmm. Instead of the multiple choice, they're going to put some the way you write.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Your handwriting is going to count some.
I don't know how they're going to grade that fast. So, what kind of time do we have?
We've been here about an hour.
25, you've been on about 45, 50 minutes you've been talking.
Okay. How much more longer do you want to go?
I'm ready to quit now.
Okay. We can quit now.
All right.
If he's going to quit, then I've got three stories I want to tell.
All right.
All right, so, good.
But now, you don't need to necessarily put them.
Why not?
Well, I can make provision for that.
He can erase them if he has to.
Well, I'll first tell the first one. I'll go back slowly. Don talking about the Hell Week.
Can I add one thing?
Yes.
The best thing that ever happened to me at college was meeting Chris. Okay.
Underline. Talking about Hell Week, what happened to him. Ours was a little similar, a little bit more complicated. We also were stark naked in the Hell Week proceedings. But what they did, maybe they had a little bit later on, they'd learned the technique better. They covered us with molasses and then put bran flakes on top of it. And then they had us put our clothes back on and put us in a car to take us out in the county. And it was in the wintertime.
Oh!
And every step you took pulled every hair in your body. And I had to get into a warm tub to get rid of all of that with my clothes on, because that was the only way I could have got it. No, I couldn't take my clothes off. Had to get in the tub to take the clothes off.
Oh, my.
That's one story. And this other one, if you want to eliminate this next one, is all right, since he was talking about Dean Hinton. And Dean Hinton, when I was in church, of course, in older days, normally people sat in a certain row. My family sat in the second row in the alcove, and Dean Hinton sat on the front row. And so I always almost sat behind him. So I knew Dean Hinton as a kid. I mean, so when I went to Georgetown, I knew Dean Hinton. But I'll never forget a story he told. And Don will appreciate this. If that goes off, that's all right. It was in the period of when Mary Beth and I were in college. When we were having trouble with the fraternities, that they were classified by some of the ministers as unchristian, and they were trying to kick us off the campus and so forth. And I remember one night we had a meeting in Giddings Hall, and some of the fraternity people were there and some of the ministers were there, and Dean had been sort of try to quiet it down and so forth. But I'll never forget, as we came out of the meeting in the hall, some of the ministers, and I'll leave names unrecorded, were there, and I was standing in the hall. And they got into a rather heated discussion over it with Dean Hinton. And finally Dean Hinton solved it
He said, now I'll tell you what, you boys, you're going back to home, to your rooms. I'm running this damn college.
That ended. That ended that discussion right, a little stern, and ended it right there. Then I got a third story. And this part of this has been added to me just in the last 2 weeks. Uh-huh. It's a little more of a story about my grandmother that I didn't know, that when she was still living, Janie Hill wrote about my grandmother. You know, she's just spoken recently to the Women's Association and told about her Georgetown experience. And she'd been out home a lot. I'd heard part of this story from my grandmother, but Janie filled in some
holes,
details. My grandmother graduated in 1884. And Janie said, and I had forgotten, that my grandmother was in the first coeducational class. Now, that wasn't when we had a coeducational school, because that came in the 90s. But this was in 1884. And she told Janie that that first class they went to, they came from the old Sim, marched up the school, and they put the girls on the left-hand side of the room and the boys on the right-hand side. And they couldn't commingle even in the classroom. And in those days, they didn't have any dates. And in fact, according to Jane's story again, only once in the year, in early June, one afternoon that was designated months in advance, from 2 to 4 o'clock, a boy could come by and see a girl in the afternoon. Once a year.
Oh my goodness.
But I had heard my grandmother tell me that my grandfather, who lived in Georgetown, and she came from Lawrenceburg, they often communicated by hiding notes in the hedge near the seminary. And Janie told me another story, that my grandmother was a piano major, and she was on the third floor. Climbed this tall locust tree and worked out on the branches so he could signal and talk to my grandmother.
What did he do, throw a pebble or something?
Oh, that reminded me of him telling that story about that. We used, the girls in Rucker Hall, would drop a string down and we would get food and tie it on there and they'd pull it up to their room at night. That's the way we got them their snacks.
The girls in Rucker?
The girls, they drop a string down, a heavy string down from the third floor.
Uh-huh.
And you'd be down there, it was pre-planned.
Uh-huh.
You'd be down there with some sandwiches or some candy or something and tie it on there and they'd pull it back up to the room. That's the way they got their snacks at night.
Let me finish part of that story.
I'm sorry, I thought
that's
you were
right.
Too.
And that's the way they communicated.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they must have done that a lot. And to show you how adventuresome my grandfather must have been in those early days, my grandfather's father was professor at the college for 42 years, starting in 1839.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so concerned about my grandfather when he was young that he saw to it that the farmland was entailed to my mother and my aunt, because they were afraid that he was so rowdy that he might misappropriate the farmland. But my grandfather did change, and later he was on the trustees, and later was chairman of the board of trustees, and was chairman of the board of trustees when the president went on to Puerto Rico.
Yeager.
Arthur Yeager was president. They were very close friends. He was chairman of the board when Yeager was president. So he turned out all right. but he had in those days they did that because he was about 19 when my great-grandfather died, and my great-grandfather must have been concerned about that. So, well, that's the end of those stories.
Well, I've enjoyed the lunch. Thank you
very
much.
And we appreciate your time, Don. We really do, and...